Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to talk about another, I'm going to use the word component of salvation, or another part of being saved, so to speak. And I think you'll enjoy this tonight. I have been preaching a long time. I grew up in church. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know that I've ever heard an entire message or Bible study attributed to this one topic, but you're going to get it tonight, all right? Isaiah 55, look at verse number 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I want you to notice those last two words there. He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, when a person gets saved, many things happen all at the same time. The only way I really know how to describe this accurately would be this. Just as when a child is conceived and life begins, many things begin to take place automatically. All the systems begin. All of the, it's a very complex thing. Even though one event took place, many things take place all in at one time there. That is the same type of thing about getting saved. By the way, that's why Jesus said you must be born again. There is a spiritual conception there. And when that takes place, there's a lot of growing that takes place. There's a lot of changes that takes place. There's a lot of things that begins with life. That happens because you got saved. You don't do all those independent things about getting saved. Those happen naturally by getting saved. When a child is conceived, you don't have to go to the doctor and have them start the heart. And then go back a week later and have them start the lungs. And then have them go back a week later and start the circulatory system or whatever. You know, I know those are all in different orders and I'm just throwing stupid things out there. But you don't go there and start those different components up for that child to grow in the womb. It happened because seed was conceived. Same is true with salvation. You don't do all the separate components. They come with it. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. One of the things we get, or one of the things that happens when we get saved, is something that you don't hear much about, but we get pardoned. We get pardoned. Look at verse number 7 again, towards the very end of the verse. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, our sins and our punishment is pardoned for eternity because we got saved. Now, the act of getting saved initiates the pardon for our eternity. You don't have to request it. You don't have to go to God and say, God, would you do this? He said, because you got saved, the package deal involves, I'm going to pardon you. Bless you. Pardon you. God tells us here in Isaiah 55 a bit about this pardon. Now, I'm going to need your minds for a few minutes here. Man, in all of his religion, all right, and our own sinfulness, and in our desire, so to speak, because of sin, to be our own God, we try to earn or merit our own salvation, our own getting saved. That's why there's only really two religions in the world. Either you have to earn it to get it, or it was done for you and you receive it by faith. Now pay attention to me. I can help you a whole lot tonight. We can't earn it. We're unrighteous.
That's right.
We are sinful.
Amen.
Even after you get saved, you're still sinful.
Right.
And some more than others. As it is written, Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, this lack of righteousness is what man tries to do on his own. He tries to become righteous on his own. That's why in Romans chapter 10, verse number 2, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Salvation is when you realize your own righteousness is as filthy rags and you're a sinner.
Yes, sir.
And you have to put your righteousness aside and accept the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, to get you to heaven. Even if you did not get saved, you're still not righteous enough to get to heaven. Let me say that again. Even if you did not sin, not get saved. Sorry. I did catch myself. It was just out of my mouth before I caught it. Yes. Now, if you never sinned, you would still die and go to hell because you don't have enough righteousness to get there. Not only do you need to have your sin forgiven, but you have to have enough righteousness to get to heaven. That's why when you get saved, the righteousness of Christ is added to your account and you have enough righteousness. Now, listen to me very carefully. It matters not how much water you're baptized in, how many candles you buy and light, how many beads you buy and pray with, how many sins you tell a man in a telephone booth, or how good or how sincere you're trying to be. No human sinner can give you a pardon for eternity because they don't have the authority to. It's only gotten by being saved and by getting saved. Now, let me explain. What is, first of all, a pardon? Let me give you the definition. A pardon is the release from legal penalties of a conviction or admitted doing of wrong. In other words, let's say Brother Eugene got put in jail for robbing a bank last week. You should have tithed. No, but let's say he robbed a bank. He's in jail. He goes to trial. He's found guilty of robbing a bank, armed robbery, had a gun, held somebody's head, strong arm robbery, et cetera, et cetera. And he's about to go to jail for an awfully long time. The governor of the state, whether it be in Maryland or wherever he was at, could pardon him. It doesn't take away the fact that he did wrong. But that pardon would mean whatever his sentence is, that it be wiped away. He's not going to face the full punishment for the wrongdoing. If you remember back in the 1970s, some of you can, with Richard Nixon and Spiro Agnew. He left the office of the White House, both of them. And President Ford, after he was actually Speaker of the House, moved into the presidency, he pardoned both Spiro Agnew and President Nixon. They weren't going to face the consequences for the wrongdoing. Oh, to God that we had people of the integrity of Richard Nixon again today. He didn't do 1/10,000th of what has been done lately in the last presidencies. And I'm not even going to go there. Now, a pardon means that a person doesn't have to face the full punishment of wrongdoing. A person who receives a pardon not only does not face the full punishment of wrong, but listen to this, because there's already been a trial and a conviction, they can't be tried for the same crime again. Somebody can't say, well, they didn't face it, so we're going to try them again. Uh-uh. It's already done. You've already been found guilty. You just don't have to enter the penalty phase because it's been forgiven. It's been pardoned. And by the way, it's taken off your record penalty-wise. Now, in other words, on the penalty portion of your conviction, it says paid in full, pardoned. Even though you didn't go to jail, Brother Eugene, it would still say paid in full by the pardon of the governor of whatever state you were in. In other words, it was paid for by someone other than you. Can I tell you something? A pardon releases someone from punishment. Thank God we have been pardoned. Amen. We don't have to face the full punishment of our sins. Right. We don't ever have to die and go to a place called hell. Now, so that's what a pardon is. Number two, are you ready? Don't worry. You'll catch it here. Only someone with the highest authority can issue a pardon. Only someone with the highest authority can issue a pardon. There's only, basically in America, there are only two types of people that can issue a pardon: a governor of a state or the president of the United States. Those are the only two officials. And I realize we have 50 governors, and I realize we have one president, but, well, who knows how many presidents we have right now. But a governor in a state is the highest authority in the state. So if you are in a state prison or in a state situation, you would appeal to the governor of that state for a pardon. Let's say Eugene committed robbery in the state of West Virginia, but he lives in Maryland. He couldn't go to Governor Hogan for a pardon for something in West Virginia. He would have to go to Governor Justice. Either way, you're in trouble. that's all I'm going to tell you. God, by the way, is the only one who can offer a spiritual pardon. He is the highest authority. Now, listen to this. He is the only righteous one. He is the only one holy enough to be able to offer a spiritual pardon. By the way, that's why he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not just a spiritual figure, but he is a political figure that has the ability to legally remove it from your account. I'm going to make some powerful statements here. You ready? A priest, a pope, or a preacher cannot give you a pardon because he's just as much of a sinner as you and I are. The Pope does not speak ex cathedra in the place of God. He's an antichrist. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 33. You're in Isaiah. The very next book of the Bible is Jeremiah. Jeremiah 33. Look at verse number 8. Jeremiah 33:8. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. God said he would pardon all of our iniquities and all of our transgressions. Go back to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is right before Esther, Job, and Psalms. Nehemiah chapter 9. Let's look at verse number 17. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 17. And refused to obey, neither were mindful of thy wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks, and in their rebellion appointed a captain to return to their bondage. But thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and forsookest them not. He was talking about the children of Israel here. And he said, look, he said, I'm able to pardon them. And even though they've done wrong, even though they've been punished, I've taken away their eternal punishment. I've taken the biggest portion of it away. God is able to pardon us. Now, may I say this, God is the only one who can offer a pardon, and he doesn't give it to another human being. I challenge you to look through that book right there. There's only about a dozen places in the entire Bible where it talks about being pardoned or a pardon. None of those cases deal with a man pardoning somebody else. Are you ready? That's why in this church, when somebody does wrong, we're not going to trot them up here and have them tell you all the bad things they did wrong. Amen. Why? Because you can't pardon them. What good is it? You're going to condemn them, not pardon them. When God pardons, he takes that punishment away. All right? Now, I'm going to have you turn to one other passage here, and I'm going to show you something. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14, and then when you get there, look at me so that I know that you're there, because I'm going to talk for a second before I read the verses here. Isaiah chapter 14. Now listen to me. When a man says he can pardon you spiritually, he has elevated himself to God's authority. When a priest says, if you go to confession and pay so much money and I'll absolve your sin. In other words, I'll pardon you. I'll take your sin and put it on me. Because I'm holy enough and I'm good enough to accept those and not go to hell. By the way, that's what the Catholic Church teaches. At confession, the priest takes your sin on them. I didn't say it. That's what they say. By the way, I'm going to make a statement here. It's satanic. Amen. Look at Isaiah chapter 14. Look at verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O... Who's the next word? Lucifer. Who's Lucifer? Okay, try that one again. You sound worse than Methodist. Who is Lucifer? It's the devil. All right? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Watch this. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Hold on. What's a throne? That's a place of ruling or leadership, correct? So in other words, Satan said, I'll put my leadership above God's. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Whew. Sounds like some preachers I know. Just bring me your sins and I'll take care of them for you. Pay the church. Buy these candles and pay $30 a candle and light it, and your loved one won't have to spend as much time in purgatory for their sins. By the way, that's what they do for a 99-cent candle that they probably get donated since they're the Catholic Church. It is satanic for somebody to say, I can take your sins and put them upon me. Now, let's bring it down to where we live. You can't take your children's sin upon you either. Be careful that you don't become satanic, saying, well, that's my child. I'll cover for them. Quit playing God. That's a hard thing to do, I know. But there comes a point in time where your kids have to face the music, or, as the old preacher used to say, they got to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. A parent is not a lifelong sentence. I hate to disappoint you. Being a parent, you never stop being a mom or a dad, but you're not their parent once they become of legal age. And it's time that as they make their, if they're big enough to make their own decisions, they're big enough to live with them. Why do you think I built a house and didn't give my keys to my kids? You say, why? Well, they got to knock on the door to come in like everybody else. Say, why? Because isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Now, Josh and Ruthann know they can come in and that kind of thing. It's not a problem. But they don't just bark through the door and go to the kitchen and open the refrigerator. He does, she doesn't. But anyway, you shouldn't try to play God of your kids. Nobody made you God of your kids. You're there in God's place on earth, but that doesn't make you God. Quit playing Buddha. You can't pardon them. You can't absorb their sins for them. Their wrongdoing is their wrongdoing. They have to face consequences just like you do. So only the highest authority can give a pardon. Did you know the Vice President of the United States cannot? Speaker of the House cannot? Hopefully she won't be the speaker very much longer. She's already making noise like she's not going to be. Now, number three, I've got to hurry. Our pardon spiritually releases us from hell and the punishment eternally for our sins. Listen to the statement I just made. Our pardon spiritually releases us from hell and the punishment eternally for our sins. In other words, we never have to face hell.
Amen.
We never have to stand before God and God say, why did you do that wrong? And why did you do that wrong? And why did you do that wrong? At the great white throne judgment, those who are lost will receive punishment based on all the wrongdoing they have done. Do you know that as a child of God, you will never face a judgment like that? When we are at the Bema seat or the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive our reward for the works done in our bodies. Key word, reward. There's no judgment. Brother Snow, you're not going to be judged for any of the sins that you've ever done, and you ought to be thanking God for that. Believe me, he came through the door telling a whopper tonight for sure. Now, wait a minute. We never have to face judgment for our sins. God's not going to, Jack Van Impe was wrong. He's not going to put your life up on a movie screen in heaven and show everybody everything you did. What a boring life that would be up in heaven, wouldn't it? Who wants to see all the bad things again? God knows I got plenty of things I want to forget. I don't want to remember them anymore. Like Monday, when I missed an 8-point buck with my bow. I don't want to remember that anymore. I've relived it enough. I don't need to see it again. Now, wait a minute. We never have to face hell. We'll never be judged for our sin because we've already been released from the condemnation of that sin. Why would you be judged by your sin if there's no punishment to give afterwards? You've already been pardoned for it. So why be tried for it? By the way, a pardon can be given before a trial. A pardon can be given at any time somebody's been accused. When we were going through this Russia scandal stuff with President Trump, he had the authority to pardon the people, Michael Flynn and others that they were trying to take down, before it ever went anywhere. He chose not to because of how it may look. But he had the authority to, just so you know. By the way, do you know what president in history gave more pardons than any president multiplied by three or four times over was? Franklin Roosevelt gave almost 4,000 pardons out. President Obama only handed out about 900. President Roosevelt handed out almost 4,000. Now, a pardon does not stop the fact that we're guilty of wrong. So many may not forgive us, but legally we won't face repercussions for it. Did you know just because you're not going to die and go to hell doesn't mean that you're not going to die?
That's right.
Just because God forgave you doesn't mean everybody on earth is going to forgive you?
That's right.
So the blood of Jesus bought this pardon for us. and it was placed on the mercy seat in heaven. By the way, he's our advocate. He's our lawyer that stands before God and says, it's already paid for. You pardoned him. He can't be punished for it. What a wonderful thing that is, isn't it? Number four, and I'll finish up with this, and we will be out of here in the next 10 minutes or so. Take notes. It is 7:36 right now. 7:45, we should be winding her down here. God will only withhold his pardon for one sin. There is only one sin that a person can commit that God will not pardon, he will not forgive. We would call it the unpardonable sin. How many of you have ever heard that term before? What is the unpardonable sin? I'll show you what it is. Turn to Exodus chapter 23. We're going to take our Bibles and turn three places. Exodus 23. As soon as I find the right book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 23. Look at verse number 21. Look at verse number 20. Behold, I send an angel, notice the capital A, before thee, to keep thee in the way, to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. So wonder who that angel was. If his name was in him, now watch this, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Muscatites, and I will cut them off. All right. The last word wasn't in there, just for those of you that did not read with me. All right. Now, turn your Bible to Exodus 34. God said there he would not pardon them for certain things. Look at Exodus 34. Look at verse number, hang on here, page stuck. Look at verse number 8. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let not my Lord, I pray thee, go among us, for it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I will make a covenant. Behold, before all thy people I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And thy people among which thou shalt see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing if it will do them. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee Amorite, Canaanite, Hittite, Perizzite, Havite, and Jebusite, etc., etc. 1 Samuel 15. Notice God said here, if you'll do something, I will pardon. But if not, look at 1 Samuel 15. This is in reference to King Saul. Look at verse number 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship with the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king of Israel. I want you to notice the rejection of God's word, the rejecting of the Holy Spirit for salvation, the rejecting of doing what God said about getting saved is the only sin God will not pardon. It's not murder. It's not baby killing. It's not suicide. I heard somebody say, well, suicide can't be forgiven because you don't have time to ask for forgiveness. You've killed yourself. And I said, you don't have to ask for forgiveness for that sin in order to go to heaven. If you're saved, you're saved. There's a lot of strange teachings. Rejecting the Holy Spirit for salvation, rejecting the Word of God and saying, God, I'll do it my way, except my way or no other way, is the only sin God cannot pardon. Say, why is that? He cannot and will not, because it's rejecting being saved. And God can't pardon somebody who has not been saved, because the pardon and being saved go together. That's like saying we're going to have a baby, but when it pops out, it's going to be 18 years old and I don't have to go through all the process. It's already going to be reared. Don't you wish it happened that way? They don't even come with an instruction manual. The stickers are already pulled off. Amen. And there is no recall and there is no money back guarantee. What you get's what you got, and you're stuck with it. Amen. Now, the only unpardonable sin is rejecting salvation and dying without being saved.
Yes, sir.
But until the last moment you suck air, you still have a chance. God said, I'll pardon you as long as you obey my word about grace and not reject it. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebelling against the authority of the scripture, rebelling against salvation. Well, I have sat with people and pled with them to get saved. And they say, I just can't do it. Oh man, Brother Fred, I don't know how many times. That was the hardest headed, mule-headed man I ever met about getting saved. And I mean, he was hours from death. Twice. Now, friend, if you die, you're going to bust hell wide open. I'm not ready yet, preacher. Well, you don't have much time. Ooh, I wanted to choke him. Get him that much closer to see if he would do it. God spared him, and he finally got saved. By the way, when it was time for him to go to heaven, he was ready. Now, wait a minute. He had up until that last breath. That word reject doesn't mean you hear the gospel once and you don't get saved, that you never have another chance. I will say this. You don't know how many chances you're going to get. You say, well, what about the people in the parts of the world that don't have a preacher, that how can God send them to hell? God's given to every man the measure of faith. I truly believe if somebody is sincerely wanting to know the truth, that God will bring somebody along their path in their lifetime to give them the truth. I believe we need more people out there telling people, for sure and for certain. But I really believe that if I witnessed it one day, I've told the story, I can tell it in 60 seconds. I was taking a flight and there was a lady from India, a Hindu lady, sitting right beside me. I'd prayed for 2 weeks for somebody to sit beside me to witness to, and she got a red dot stuck on her forehead right there. Oh, that's not funny, God. Had my Bible open. I was working on a sermon just like this and working away. She said, are you a Christian? I said, yes, ma'am, I am. Are you? She said, oh, no, I'm Hindu. I thought, okay, that went over okay. I see where we're at here. We hadn't even pushed off yet. And we started pushing off and we're kind of easing out to the runway. And she said, what you working on? I said, well, I'm preaching in Kansas City. She said, well, what are you going to preach? That's like sick 'em to a bulldog. And I said, ma'am, have you ever seen the Bible? She said, I've heard of it. And I opened up my Bible, sat it on the tray between us. Well, at that point in time, their trays were down. I put it on my lap, and as soon as the trays could come down, I set the tray down. I started with Adam and Eve and talked to her about Jesus, sin, how that Jesus came to pay her sin debt for her, showed her about hell. She bowed her head and trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. We were at 37,000 feet in the air, and tears are running down this young lady's face. She told me how she wasn't even supposed to, she didn't know till the night before she had to get on that plane. Somebody else was supposed to go, got sick, and she ended up in that person's place. That was before 911. And she said, I grew up in India in a little village. She said, every day, I remember walking out every night at dark, looking outside past my village on the side of the mountain saying, something's out there I don't have yet. I'd like to know what it is. With tears pouring down her face, she said, Mister, is this what I've been asking for my whole life? I said, it is. She said, I don't have to ask that question anymore, do I? I said, no, and why not? She said, because I got saved right there. I got the Lord inside me. I said, yes, you do. I gave her a gospel track, found out where she was in the Chicago area, and sent her address to somebody to go visit her. She had been looking her whole life. Finally seated on an airplane next to her, somebody opened the Bible and showed her what she was looking for. That's what it's all about. Pardoned. The punishment released off of us legally. When you got saved, you got pardoned.